And as he told us, leprosy is a type of sin. All have sinned. So that all are spiritual lepers. Now, some cases of leprosy, you can just look at and diagnose. And it's the same way with sin. You know, you can look at some fellows, robbers, thieves, drunkards. Oh, they're sinners. But then you know there's some lepers hard to diagnose. I remember the first time I saw a leper, and even the second time, I didn't know that they were lepers. In came this lady, fine-looking lady, beautiful fur coat, nice high-heeled shoes, well-dressed. I said, what could be wrong with her? You know she was a leper. Couldn't see it. And so it is in life. We all have sinned and come short. Oh, some people are very good. They're very nice. They're very community-minded. They're sinners. We all need, as our brother has been telling us, the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, coming to our subject, we have been discussing recently glimpses of heaven. Glimpses of heaven. Why only glimpses? Why don't we speak of the full evidence of heaven? Glimpses of heaven. Why glimpses? John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This verse is well known. Verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. What is it going to look like? The Lord is going to prepare a place for us. You have any idea what it's going to look like? I remember at college level, there was one associate, and he could argue any Bible verse he was taking and twist it to his desire. And I recall at the foot of a hill, New York City, you wouldn't know the place, Edgecombe Avenue and 141st Street. I said, well, how will you explain this verse, the one we just read? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'm coming back. He said, is that in the Bible? I said, yeah, that's in the Bible. He said, well, I'll have to think about it. You know, he never gave me an answer. He has gone to prepare a place. I wonder what that place is going to look like. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. What is this place going to look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. For as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. How does that verse strike you? What's heaven going to look like? This verse says we can't imagine what it's going to look like. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 3 and 4. I go to prepare a place for you, and we can't begin to imagine what it looks like. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 3 and 4. I knew such a man whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable, undescribable words, words that you cannot put in human language. What's heaven going to be like? Can't put it in human language. Can't describe it in human words. That is why we can only get glimpses of heaven. The last time we looked, and we found that these glimpses are given to us in the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, to the overcomers. Certain things be true of the overcomers. And we saw that in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, overcomers are going to eat of the tree of life. Well, that poses the question. We already have everlasting life. Why do you eat of the tree of life? But why do you eat? Some people eat to stay alive, and others live to eat. That's why there's so much overweight in the United States. We are going to partake of the tree of life for the pure enjoyment of heaven. You know how you come into the house and you get this aroma of well-cooked food? That's what heaven's like. A place of a paradise. There are some beautiful places on earth. Heaven is going to be a paradise. I think I mentioned at our last speaking meeting, going from New York City up to Albany, Route 9, as you drive up, you come to the Mohawk Valley. And there are signs all along the way, do not slow down, do not slow down. Why? The tendency is to slow down to look at the gardens. They're so beautiful. I wonder what the gardens in heaven are going to look like. But now today we come to the second glimpse of heaven, found in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2. The second glimpse. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, there's that word again, shall not be hurt of the second death. Hurt. The second death is associated with pain, with discomfort, with that which is not pleasant. And those that overcome will not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death? Book of the Revelation, chapter 20. The second death, what is it? Book of the Revelation, chapter 20. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. What is the first resurrection? We read about that in 1 Thessalonians. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the cry of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise when? First. And then we which are alive shall be caught. That's the first resurrection. If you're in the first resurrection, you will not be hurt of the second death. But what is the second death? Chapter 21. What is the second death? Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, that is the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. The lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Have you ever wondered why it's a lake and not a river? Why is it described as a lake and not a river? Why is it described as a lake and not an ocean? A lake is a confined body of water with no exit. Lake of fire, you're never going to get out. What a thought that is. No exit, no way out of the lake of fire. But what is the lake of fire like? This place that we know as hell, what is it like? You know, some people say, oh, I'm going to have a lot of company in hell. No, you won't. We know of one man that went down there, and he said he was alone. He was lonesome. And before him, many people had gone to hell, but they didn't seem to have any concern for him. He was lonesome. Now, let's look and see what this lake of fire is like. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble finding my notes. What is the lake of fire going to be like? Oh, here it is. A lake of fire. We know what fire is. And we avoid getting burned by fire. The fire is going to be an eternal fire, we read in Isaiah. The fire will never go out. Hell, we are told in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 1, is a pit. Now, those of you that have been to New York City, you take an elevator up to the 30th floor, then you take it down, and it goes down so fast you wonder, when is it going to stop? Hell is a bottomless pit. Hell is like a horrible tempest. We've had hurricanes. We've had earthquakes. Hell is like a horrible tempest. Hell is a place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. I remember years ago at a certain hospital in New York City, a patient came in. One of her opponents got a hold of lie. The sisters knew what lie is. Threw it in the face of this woman. And the question to me was, what about my eyes? What about my eyes? She had no eyes. You know how you take warm water, a few drops of salt? You don't see the salt, do you? Salt disappears. She had no eyes. The lie had dissolved her eyes. She said to me, what about my eyes? I said, I have called for the eye specialist. He will tell you about your eyes. It wasn't much you could see. But you know, and I'm telling you from experience, a great number of doctors are rude, crude, and uncouth. Take my word for it. The doctor walked in, looked. Look at her eyes. Ah! She'll never see again. That woman let out a cry that was blood-curdling. It upset every nurse and every doctor on the ward. And every patient that heard that cry had to be sedated heavily. A cry from the pit of hell, it sounded like. There was going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in the lake of fire. It's going to be a place where they gnash their teeth. There's another thing about hell. As I told you, it's a lake is enclosed. You don't get out. I think of another man. He also was blind. Big fellow. Oh, he must be about 6'7". Tall fellow. Heavy set. Deep bass voice. And one of his eyes was diseased. And I remember that man in the hospital, a large hospital, and he groaned and cried and yelled for the pain. You could hear him all through the building. He was taken to the operating room. The eye surgeon came. I happened to be present. The eye surgeon removed that painful eye. And what do you think this man did at the end of the operation? He held out his hand to the doctor and said, "Thanks for taking the eye out." In hell, there's going to be no relief. There's going to be no help. It's a terrible place. Hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. The Lord Jesus Christ told us that. God had never in mind that man should go to hell. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But we also read in the Word of God that because of man's refusal to accept his Son, God enlarged hell to whole human beings. What a thought. Hell will be a place of torment. Pardon me, torments. Plural. Can you imagine being irritated and tormented day in and day out for all eternity? The lake of fire is going to be a place of torments. You remember, was it last time? Yes. The word says that hell is going to burn with fire and brimstone. You remember this, what I said? Fire and brimstone. Professor Harrow, world authority on many subjects, great chemist. Now, gentlemen, he was lecturing to us. Before I speak on the subject for today, here is a piece of brimstone. I'm going to put it in the fire and leave it there while I lecture to you. He lectured for 55 minutes. Took a tongue, took out the brimstone, said, "See, brimstone doesn't burn." Oh my. Was the Bible wrong? The Bible said that hell is going to burn with fire and brimstone. Professor Harrow said, "Brimstone doesn't burn." Now what do? Run home, tell your parents the Bible's wrong? No, you don't do that. I didn't do that. But I tell you, I agonized in prayer. I said, "Lord, there's something wrong somewhere. If that was really brimstone that the professor had, and he put it in fire and it didn't burn, something is wrong somewhere." 2 weeks later, we had a visiting professor. I don't remember his name. I don't know what he spoke about. I remember one sentence. You know what he said? "You can make anything burn if you make the fire hot enough." Why did the brimstone burn for Professor Harrow? The fire wasn't hot enough. Oh, beloved. The lake of fire is going to be hot. And there is no air conditioning down there. And there'll be no water down there. But there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There'll be noise pollution. What a place. It's a place, we read in the Word of God, where the worm dieth not. There's no relief from the pangs and the pains of hell. Aren't you glad you're not going there? We're in the first resurrection. We're not going there. The fire and the torments my eyes will never see. Thank the Lord. You know, it's a place where you don't want your relatives to go. We read in the book of Luke of this man that was in Hades. And he said, send Lazarus to talk to my brothers. The Lord said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word of God. The lake of fire. Now let me read for you the testimonies of some of those who went to hell. Yes. Here it is, yes. Chartres, great French atheist, said, I would gladly give £30,000 to prove that there is no hell. He was dying. Marimbeau, an agnostic, didn't believe that God was. When he was on his dying bed, he said, give me more laudanum, more morphine, more sedation, that I may not think of eternity. Hobbes, another atheist, said, I am taking a fearful leap into the dark. Then there is that fellow, we all know of him, what's his name? Voltaire. You remember Voltaire? Let's see, what did Voltaire... Oh, yes. Voltaire was that fellow back in the 18th century who said, 19th century rather, in 100 years, there'll be no Bibles. And he had a printing shop. Don't trifle with God. What was his printing shop is today a place where you go to buy Bibles. He said, I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. Oh, Jesus Christ. His nurse testified that she would never want to witness the death of another agnostic. It was terrible. Another agnostic. When I lived, I provided for everything but death. Now I must die, and I'm unprepared to die. Oh, this is a good one. Do you remember that fellow that wrote The Age of Reason? Tom Paine? You must have come across him in school. The Age of Reason. And he's going to tell people to live by your brain. On his dying bed, he said, I would give worlds if I had them, if the Age of Reason had never been published. Oh, Lord, help me. Christ, help me. Stay with me. It is hell to be left alone. That's the way ungodly men die, unbelievers. But then believers die a different way, most pleasant. Richard Baxter. Perhaps you have read some of his writings. I have pain. There is no argument against it. But I have peace. I have Christ. That's the way to die. Moody said, I see earth receding and heaven approaching. That's the way a Christian dies. About 3 or 4 years ago, a brother from Canada visited us. His wife died some 3 months before. Oh, she was a lovely lady, like the sisters in this meeting. She liked to entertain the believers, and she could cook. like the sisters in this meeting. And Sister Rosalind lay on her deathbed. She called her husband, her two daughters, and her three sons, clasped her hands and said, "I'm dying." It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And breathed her last breath. She wasn't going to the eternal burnings. She was going to be with the Lord. Read with me, please, Acts chapter 7. We'll see how another child of God died on his way to heaven. Not the eternal burnings. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. This is about Stephen. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, stoned him. The witnesses laid their clothes at the foot of a young man named Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" That's the way Christians go. How are you going? Everybody here going to heaven? Or are you going to the eternal burnings? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4. How did Brother Paul go? What did he have to say? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. "I am now ready to be offered up." He said, "I'm ready to go. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight." Not a good fight. There's only one good fight. And that's the fight in the name of the Lord. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course." Oh my, he's at the end. "I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all." You ready for your crown, child of God? That's the way to go. That's the way to go. I have a little poem here. And the last time I read it was in Detroit, Michigan. Yes. And when I read it, when I gave the title, a brother said, "That's false doctrine." Now, I'm not going to give you any false doctrine. But the title of the piece is "Hell Has Its Good Points." Did you know that? Did you know that hell has some good points? Well, sure. There won't be any churches there. The people in hell complain, all the churches want is money. Well, there won't be any down there. There won't be any preachers there. All the preachers want is money. There won't be any Bibles there. That's an old-fashioned. Well, there won't be any there. Those are the good points about hell. The good points which they regret. But we are going to heaven. Oh, I think it's time for me to stop. 6:24. "And beloved, aren't you glad that you're going to heaven?" 6:23, I'm sorry. 6:23. Let me get out of the way of the song leader. A glorious tomorrow. That's what I'm looking forward to. I may get there before you do. Brother English is there. My father's there. My mother's there. Three brothers and two sisters, and a host of believers. And I say to them, I'm coming too. Are you going? Everybody going to heaven? A glorious tomorrow. Go ahead. Once more. One verse in the book of the Acts, please. Chapter 26. Verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. If you are here and not saved, almost will not do. I had a brother. He's now with the Lord. And like many of you here, he liked mathematics. When I took my last course in calculus, that was it. I was finished. But this brother of mine liked math, and he went on to higher studies. The theory of numbers. My, my, my. I remember one fellow came out from the class, Professor Gill just proved that one and one do not always make two. I said, that's all. The Lord said the two shall be one. You want higher mathematics? You want higher anything? It's in the book. My brother was in this class, and Professor Gill gave them a problem. Professor Gill said, I know only one way to solve this problem, and I'm going to show it to you. The next morning, he gave a quiz on that problem. Now, my brother was always different, so he solved it his way and showed it to Professor Gill. He had one number wrong. My brother said, Professor, I'm almost right. Professor Gill said, almost is completely wrong. You want a doctor to almost tell you what's wrong? You want a doctor to give you almost the right medicine? If you are here and you're not saved, take the Lord Jesus Christ now and know of a surety that you're going to be with him. Let us pray. Again, Holy Father, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for salvation from sin. We thank thee for a bright and glorious tomorrow with the Lord. Should there be any here who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we earnestly pray that they will bow to him even now. Dismiss us with thy richest blessing resting upon us, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Again I say, if you are here and you are not absolutely 100% sure that you're going to heaven, stay behind. We'd be glad to talk to you. God bless.